In a moment, I'm going to welcome once again to our pulpit Reverend Stephen Atkinson. It is my pleasure to have him back with us tonight. As you recall, he is a pastor in the Presbyterian Church in America, a fellow pastor in our denomination, but he is also the director of the Christian Witness to Israel North American branch. And that is a ministry that's been witnessing to the Jews, that's been bringing the gospel to the Jews wherever they are for well over 150 years. And so a lot of rich history and reformed history in bringing the gospel to the Jews. And especially tonight, we get to see what some of the Jewish traditions, how they really do point to Jesus Christ and how he fulfilled all those things. And so, Pastor Atkinson, without further ado, if you would come and bring us God's word. Welcome. Thank you.
It is a delight and joy to be back with you again. I've kind of got an impossible task to do all of this, because normally a Passover celebration takes place in a Jewish home over about 3 to 4 hours. No, I'm not going to keep you 3 to 4 hours. Even when I do this in churches regularly, it takes about an hour to do the Passover bit itself. I'm not going to do that either. So I'm really going to try and condense things so that I can also preach as well. And we're trying to maybe cut the whole thing down to about half that and then take another 15 or 20 minutes to preach. So I crave your indulgence as we do that and as we proceed rather swiftly through some of the materials in front of you. I'm glad that you have got the Haggadah in front of you as well. As I say, please take this with you and perhaps read it, because we will be somewhat skipping over some of the things. But what I want to do, even by way of introduction, is just talk us through some of the elements of the Passover. And then we will proceed. We'll probably skip a few pages, but we'll proceed through the pages in front of you. And then we'll get into the Word. And what I want us to think about, even as we turn to the Word later in the evening, is what Jesus sang on the night in which he was betrayed. We can see some of the things that he did. We can see and we can read some of the things that he did among his disciples. We can look at his high priestly prayer. But what did he sing? As we look at the Jewish Passover, we discover what he sang on the night in which he was betrayed. And it's very poignant. And indeed, it's a very special moment. So I want us to come to that a little later. But let me first just go through some of the items. Let me take a little bit by way of introduction. Jewish Passover this year started on Monday evening. So we are right in the Jewish Passover season. It lasts for 8 days. The night before Passover, one of the things that Jewish households will do is to cleanse their house of all leaven or yeast. And they will actually go on a search for the last little bit of leaven, a little crumb. They'll deliberately place a little crumb of cake or bread. And the children and the father, they go off and they search for it. And it is swept into a napkin. And the next morning, it's burned. So there's a very deliberate clearing the house of leaven. It kind of reminds me of when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11 about our preparation for the Lord's table. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. In other words, there is a search that should go on in our houses, the house of our heart. And the cleansing through Christ. In the Jewish household, so they prepare for Passover in this way. Let me then just maybe mention these items and then we'll start the actual Seder proper with the lighting of the candles. What I want you to do, what I do when I do Christ in the Passover demonstrations, I don't want you to go ooh and ah about things Jewish. This is empty without Jesus. And the Jewish people do not have Jesus. It's important, though, that, and it's really interesting that we are doing things in tandem, because it lets us see that transition from one to the other and gives the Jewish roots to Christianity. Christianity is Jewish. Edith Schaefer wrote a book entitled Christianity is Jewish. It's a good book. It's important for us to see our Hebrew roots. I want to stress that this is a demonstration. I'm not Jewish, just in case you wondered. I'm Northern Irish. I usually tease you and say I'm from Northwest Arkansas, which I am. That's where I live. But, of course, the accent's a little further than that. I think also we need to recognize, and maybe it's useful for us, is that it doesn't take place in synagogue as such. It takes place in the home. It's a family event. It's a happy event. L'chaim. It's a joyful event. Jesus longed for this, didn't he? And I think sometimes we come to the Lord's table and we're all very solemn. We're all very somber. It's communion. And we need to wear our black suits and our black ties, and we need to be very, very... If we have any connection with the Passover, we should be joyful when we think of a body broken and blood poured out for us, as we will shortly. It's a joyous time. Now, on the Seder plate are a number of things. There is a roasted egg. This symbolizes the sacrifices. There are no sacrifices in Judaism now. The temple is destroyed. The sacrifices are done. And in fact, the roasted, charred, hard-boiled egg symbolizes not only the roasted sacrifices, but the destruction of the temple. It's hard as well, and there's a lot of symbolism in Jewish life and practice. So the hard-boiled egg also symbolizes Pharaoh and his hard heart. Bitter herbs, parsley, some will use celery, some will use lettuce. Those are the bitter herbs. Because life is bitter. Jewish life is bitter. Jewish life in Egypt was bitter. Because this is a remembrance. This is a memory of the life in Egypt. There is horseradish as well, which is bitter, and we'll come to that in a moment. There is a sweet mix that's called karaseth. It's honey, nuts, and apples. So there is a mix of the bitterness and the sweetness. Slavery in Egypt was bitter, but deliverance, the sweet deliverance, is coming. So again, that is also on the plate. The honey, nuts, and apple mix also represents the mortar when they were to make bricks in Egypt. There is a lamb bone. All of this you can have a look at later. So you can come up and have a glance at later. Passover lamb. But they don't have a Passover lamb. And that's the burden of Christian witness to Israel, is to tell Jewish people that the Passover lamb has been slain and his name is Jesus. Jesus would have partaken of a Passover lamb. Then there are four cups of wine. This is grape juice. I can't have four cups. We'll not get to the end of the meeting. Having said that, they take four cups over about 4 hours. But it is actually okay with the rabbis to get a little bit shicker. Wine gladdens the heart. So there will be four cups. I actually have just one cup there, but they will set out four cups. And then there's a fifth cup. This is for Elijah. Because at every Passover table, they will place an extra setting for Elijah. And they hope that Elijah may come. Because before Messiah comes, Elijah comes. We tell them Elijah has already come. His name is John the Baptist. And Messiah has already come. And then there is the matzah. And I have them in the matzah tash, the matzah bag, but we'll talk about these in a moment as well. But that's the matzah. Well, I think we'll come to some of these symbolisms as we work our way through, and I'll make a few more words of comment as we proceed. I'm really not sure how I'm going to do to condense this, but I'll have to be disciplined. But I believe, Judith, you're helping me at this point. So let's proceed right to the lighting of the candles. And that's what begins. The lady of the house lights the Passover candles. Sometimes we think of Judaism as a very patriarchal society. Actually, the lady of the Jewish home, she can run the house as well. And she has a very important task to do, because by the woman, the light of the world comes.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the festival light.
Thank you. If you want to open the page of your booklet, and we'll just start to proceed, and as I say, I'll maybe skip over a few things. Pesach, or Passover, begins every year on the eve of the 14th of Nisan. That was Monday last in the Jewish calendar, past Monday. The festival lasts for 8 days and commences with the Seder, the Passover meal. During the festival, chametz, leaven, may not be eaten or kept in a Jewish home. The first 2 days and the last 2 days of Pesach are treated as a Sabbath on which no work is done. The festival celebrates the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, but the prophets of Israel foresaw a day when an even greater exodus would deliver Israel from a worse tyrant than Pharaoh. Now, this is a Christ in the Passover, so we're going to have within our booklet Christ references, which the Jewish people obviously won't have. The New Testament writers see Jesus as a new and greater Moses, and his death as a sacrifice to redeem his people. Let's move down to the bottom paragraph. This Haggadah is an abridged version of the traditional Orthodox form used among Ashkenazi or Northern European Jews. From this Seder, you will not only discover how Jews today remember the events of the Exodus, but you'll gain a better appreciation of the Lord's Supper, which was a traditional Passover Seder. And hopefully you will go away from the Seder with a heart of compassion for our Jewish friends, longing that they will come to see that the Messiah, our Passover Lamb, has been slain for us. So we fill the first cup. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu, Melech Ha'olam, Borei Pri Hagefen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of the fruit of the vine. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who chose us from all peoples and exalted us among the nations by making us holy with his commandments, and who in love gave us the festive seasons. And it's only a demonstration, so I'm not going to drink extensively. After that, it's very interesting because there is a washing of the hands, or at least a ceremonial washing of the hands. And it's really interesting that at that point, we read of what Jesus did. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm not sure if you may, but if you have your Bibles with you, or you maybe remember the incident in John 13. John 13 and verse 2. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it round his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. The regular practice would have been to ceremonially wash your hands. Jesus washed his disciples' feet and showed how much he loved them. We go on to eat the carpus. Again, I'll just quickly run through these. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hada'ama. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the earth. And then there is the eating of the parsley. The middle matzah. There are three matzahs in the matzah tash. There are three segments to the bag. And the middle matzah is now taken out and broken. Half of it is left, and the other is put in either a napkin or, in this case, a bag, an afikomen bag. I'll explain what afikomen means. But this afikomen bag, with the half matzah, it is taken away and it is hidden. And we'll come to that a little bit later. So the middle matzah is broken, half is wrapped and hidden. Then we move into the Passover story, the matzah. This is the bread of affliction which our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. All who are hungry, let them come and eat. All who are needy, let them come and eat the Passover with us. Do you see the parallels between what Jesus said? I am the bread of life. Come to me. Well, the matzah is once again covered. Second cup. It's filled. There's already some in there. And then, I need another helper. And I think the microphone may be on now.
Why is this night different from all other nights? Why on all other nights do we eat either leavened bread or unleavened bread? Why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread? On all other nights, we eat herbs of any kind. Why on this night do we eat only bitter herbs? On all other nights, we do not dip our herbs even once. Why on this night do we dip them twice? On all other nights, we eat our meals in any manner. Why on this night do we sit around the table together in a reclining position?
Thank you. Now, are you all comfortable? Are you all in a reclining position? Have you all rested? It's a happy family meal where there is this relaxation. Then the father has got to respond to the questions that the child has asked. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord our God brought us out from there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Now, if God had not brought out our forefathers from Egypt, then even we, our children, and our children's children might still have been enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. Therefore, even when were we all wise, all men of understanding, even if we were all old and well-learned in the Torah, it would still be our duty to tell the story of the departure from Egypt. And the more one tells of the departure from Egypt, the more he is to be praised. And we'll need to just cut it short there. The Haggadah is the telling forth. That's what the word means. You remember? What do we do in this? We proclaim the Lord's death till he come. We are telling it forth. Again, the parallels between the two. There's a very poignant aspect to this as we just turn over the page. To page four, top of page four, I think it is, at least in my one it is. And the finger is dipped in the cup. and a drop of wine is placed on the plate for every one of the plagues. There's the recognition of all of those things that the Lord did. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and the Lord again and again displayed the finger of God and brought blood, frogs, lice, flies, pestilence, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the slaying of the firstborn. I should get the choir to come up again, because at this point then there is the Dayenu. And the Dayenu is, as you see there, it's a song. And basically, and we'll not go through all the number of verses that there are. There are actually a lot more verses than that. But the Dayenu was simply saying, it would have been enough if God did this for us, but he did this and he did this and he did this. And then the next verse goes on, it would have been enough if he had done this for us, but he did this and he did this and he did this and he did this. And it would have been enough if God had just done this for us, but he did this, 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 this. It's the first 27-verse charismatic chorus. Let me give you a flavor. Yelo hatsi hatsiano, hatsiano, mi mitzrayim, hatsiano, daienu, dae daienu. Dae daienu, dae daienu, daienu, daienu. And that's all you're getting. But that goes on and on and on and on. And you can see the kind of Jewish joy that they would have as they remember, again, the remembering. If God had done this for us, but he did this and he did this and he did this. Now again, time is short, so I'm going to really skip over a few more pages. I'll leave it for you there to read or to take home with you and read. We come to, there's the reading of the Psalms 113, 114, and then later 115 through to 118. I'm going to concentrate our thoughts on a portion from 118 later on. Move over. Let's see where we could take it up. Well, we can go to the matzah, which I think is number 7, and just have a comment or two on the matzah. I've already mentioned that there are 3 matzah. Why 3? Some have suggested that this practice went on in the early church. In other words, the Jewish believers, the first church was Jewish. They were Jewish believers, and they would have celebrated Passover still after Christ. And some would have suggested that perhaps they entered in a little bit of Christian symbolism into the Passover. And over the years, because the Jewish believers of the first century mixed with their unbelieving fellow countrymen, and in fact, they were a sect within the synagogue. And so they may have had the similar Passover and just added a few things in. And some have suggested, though really there's no reason why we can totally say that this is the case, but 3 matzah, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not in the Jewish household. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Jewish people do not believe in a 3-in-1. Why 3? And why the middle matzah broken and half taken away? We'll come to that in a moment. You saw the matzah, didn't you? It's pierced and striped. What does that remind you of, Sunday school class? Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. By his stripes we are healed. Christ is so evident in the Jewish Passover, but they don't see him. Let me just take a little bit off the mats. I'm going to make a real mess, but I'll do my best. And this then is put into, I think, where we're at in number 8, the bitter herbs. The parsley is dipped in the chariseth. So it's the bitter is dipped in the sweet. Bitter and sweet. Bitterness of slavery, sweetness of deliverance. Then number 9, we have the bitter herbs and the matzah together. Now, these bitter herbs is the horseradish. Now, when I was growing up, my mother was a very plain cook. Of course, I'm from Ireland. We had potatoes and potatoes and potatoes. No, we did have regular other meals as well. But my mother really didn't do much by way of fancy stuff. Great cook, but it was just regular stuff. When I became a teenager and I started visiting in my friends' homes, they started to introduce me to more exotic sauces, which I had never enjoyed before. And I remember my first time when I went to my friend's home, and they had horseradish. And I was getting to really like these sauces. And my friends, have you ever had horseradish sauce? And I said, no, I've never had horseradish sauce. So I poured a lot of horseradish sauce. And yeah, whoa, you can imagine. Because what happens when you have a lot of horseradish sauce? It brings tears, doesn't it? That's exactly what they're supposed to do. They take a huge chunk of horseradish to bring tears, to represent the tears that they had in their wilderness or in their slavery days. Interestingly also, at this point, this is the point where Judas received the piece of bread dipped in the horseradish. Judas took it. Did he eat it? We don't really know. If he did eat it, he would have had tears in his eyes as he left. False tears, fabricated tears. Judas may have had tears when he went out of the room. Peter had tears, real tears of penitence, repentance. But this was the point at which Judas was given the matzah dipped in the horseradish, in the bitter herbs. And he went out. Then they have a meal, and the meal lasts about 3 hours. A sumptuous, it's a big event. It's a family event. It's a sumptuous meal. After the meal, you get dessert. Now, I love dessert. Have dessert first. Life is short. Well, the dessert is the afikomen. The dessert is another wafer. But that's the dessert. But what is the afikomen? Scholars, again, are kind of dispute as to what afikomen actually means. But most of them are agreed that it is kind of a Greek and Hebrew mix, which means he who is coming again. Every Jewish home does this. 3 matzah, pierced and striped matzah, middle matzah broken, half of it taken away, hidden for 3 hours, and then brought back. Do you see the symbolism? I don't even have to preach it. You're already seeing the symbolism of Jesus in all of this. Well, we must again continue to proceed somewhat swiftly through. Third cup, the third cup of redemption, the cup of redemption. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagefen. This is Christ's cup. This is understood as where we read in scriptures that he said, this is my blood, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So this again is the connect that we have. The third cup is Christ's cup. Now I have proceeded somewhat swiftly. I apologize for that. I hope I've covered sufficient of the symbolism. We could talk a lot more. But what I want to do at this point is bring us down to what you see there after the third cup and the Psalms. 115, 116, 117, 118 are sung here. So I'm going to switch across and bring us to Psalm 118. So we're in the upper room. We're beginning an insight into what Jesus did in the upper room. He showed his love for his disciples. He longed to eat the Passover. He declared himself the Passover lamb. He broke the matzah and spoke of his own body to be broken. He drank the Thanksgiving cup, the cup of redemption, and he spoke of how he was giving his blood for them. But as I also said, he sang a psalm. Now in Mark 14:26, we read, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Well, they didn't sing a hymn. At least they didn't have our hymnal. They had the Psalter. And it was these psalms, the Hallel psalms, that he sang. And so I want us just to pause over a few of the verses and think of Jesus in the upper room singing these words. I've got 3 points, as every Presbyterian sermon has got to have. And again, as I said, I will try to be concise and seek to keep to time. Psalm 118, verse 6. This is Jesus in the upper room singing this. 118 verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper, I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. Verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Verse 22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Those verses really just merit our heads to be bowed and to meditate upon these truths. But I've been tasked to preach, so let me take a few points over these verses. The first thing I want us to notice is that Jesus testified in song in the upper room that he is safe and secure. Jesus is aware as no other what lay before him. But he declares his security because the Lord is on my side, verse 6 and verse 7. Take this cup away from me. Yet not your will, but not my will, but yours be done. In the human uncertainty of what was about to take place, he sings this. And he is safe and secure. The Lord is for me, literally the word means. Jesus is walking in intimate fellowship with his Father, and he's declaring his own safety and security when all hell is going to break loose. I will look in triumph on those who hate me. I shall not die, but I shall live. Jesus declared that he was safe and secure. Now I want to make a comment or two by way of application, but let me just take the 3 points first. And then we'll come back to 3 points of application. First, safe and secure. Secondly, suffering in service. Verses 22 and 23, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. So we have again Jesus referencing his own rejection. His rejection by the builders. The builders, the leaders, the shepherds of Israel rejected him. And then he says, this is the Lord's doing. You see how he wonderfully weaves human responsibility and divine sovereignty? The builders have rejected him. But this is the Lord's doing. In Acts 2, we read, "This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Jesus sang in the upper room that he was safe and secure. Jesus sang that the Lord was for him. Now he is singing that that all of these things that are about to happen are from him. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous. You know, we come to Easter, or we come to the Maundy-Thursday service, or we come to these things that are so familiar. We need to be stunned. We need to see this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous. It is stunning in our eyes. His rejection as Isaiah's servant of the Lord is wonderful. The way God has so ordered time and history and incarnation and redemption is marvelous. No one could make it up. It is the greatest story ever told. It is marvelous. So he sings of his safety and security. So he sings of his suffering and his service. And then he sings in verse 24 of being satisfied and singing. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day. Do you get it? Not only is it for him, not only is it from him, but all of this is unto him. "This is the day," sings Jesus in the upper room. When does a Jewish day begin? Evening time. Jesus is in the upper room. The light has gone. A new day has begun because the Jewish day begins in the evening. When Jesus was singing this, he's singing, "This is the day." He's going out. What's going to happen? He's going to be betrayed. There's going to be a mock trial. He's going to be put on a cross. He's going to die in the next 24 hours. I'm tempted to, it's too banal perhaps, but some of you might be watching 24. Beep bop, beep bop. Events occur in real time. "This is it," says Jesus. He's singing this. This is his last song. And he's saying, "This is the day from all eternity. This is it. I'm going out. This is the Yom. This is the Yom Kippur. This is the Day of Atonement." Even though the Jewish festival isn't till later in the year. But this is the day of all days. When from all human history, from in the garden being promised one who would crush the serpent. This is it. This is the day for you and for me. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, what shall we say to these things? This is what Jesus sang. What about us? Well, let's take those 3 points again very, very briefly and just make that application. And I want to say to you, my friends, if you know the Lord, because of this day, I can face today. I can be safe and secure because of the gospel certainties that were accomplished for us on that day. we can face today, whatever your day is, we can face enemies. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. The Lord is for me. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son. How will he not always also give us all things? Because of this day, you and I in Christ can face today. We can have shalom, safety, peace, security, wellness, wholeness. Our Jewish friends don't have this. Pray for them. Pray for us as we minister to them. Jewish people are placing their hope and trust in their Jewishness. Post-Holocaust, the one thing needful for Jewish people is their continuance. They don't simply believe in 10 commandments, there are 613 commandments. In fact, they have, after the Holocaust, introduced 614th. The 614th commandment is, we must survive. And so in Israel and in the U.S. and the Jewish communities, as I've said before, almost half the Jewish community lives in America. 42% of the world's Jewish population live here with us. And they are placing their safety and security in their Jewishness and their survival mentality. We want to tell them about Jesus. We want to tell them what he has done in that upper room. We want to tell them of the Passover lamb so that they will have this shalom. The Lord is for me. Because of this day, I can face today. But secondly, because of this day, I can face tomorrow. Jesus sang, I shall not die, but I shall live. He was suffering in his service. Whatever your service of Christ, whatever your suffering, it is from him. Just as Jesus said, this is the Lord's doing. So your heavy providence or your difficult situation, which I don't know, but my heart goes out to you, whatever the heaviness, it's from the Lord, and therefore you can face it, because he faced it, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I will look in triumph on my enemies. The last enemy is death. I will look in triumph. I shall not die, but I shall live. In Christ, we can say that. We can sing this. We can rejoice in our suffering and service and be safe and secure. Jewish people can't face this tomorrow. Jewish people can't face this death because they have no Passover lamb. They have no atonement. In Christ, you are safe and secure. In Christ, you may be suffering in service, but you can have that security. You can face today. You can face tomorrow. But most importantly, you can face the day that is coming. There's a day of the Lord coming. A day that the prophets spoke of. A day that Revelation speaks of. When all of this is done, this is a proclaiming forth his death till he come. The Aphikomen, he who is coming again, he's coming again. Are you ready for his coming again? Because of this day in the upper room, I can face today, tomorrow. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready for that day? Because of what Christ has done, we can be. I've said before that the Jewish festivals can be summed up in three phrases. They tried to kill us. God saved us. Let's eat. Our enemy tried to kill us. Christ saved us. Let's eat. The end of the Passover meal, you will see, we'll not deal with that, but you can read its conclusion where they rejoice in God's mercy. They pray for a restoration, the rebuilding of Jerusalem. We don't pray for a rebuilding of Jerusalem, but rather we pray for a restoration of the Jewish people to their Messiah. And then they cry out, Lashana Habnuya. Let me just get the words again. Lashana Habaya Berushalayim Habnuya. Next year in Jerusalem. Well, I don't know for you if it's going to be next year in Jerusalem. But at least in Christ, we know next year, next day, is with him. Let's bow together a moment's prayer and then we'll proceed to the Lord's Supper. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your dear Son, for the gospel realities that are before us. We thank you for the things that we have learned this evening, even as we are brought into that most holy place, our Lord in the upper room with his disciples, enjoying a Passover meal. As we see the rich symbolism, as we see how much of it points to Christ, oh gracious God, take the veil away from their eyes, make them to see Jesus, even in the stripes and piercings of the matzah. Make them to see their Messiah has come. Elijah is not coming. He has come. Messiah has come. And so, gracious God, we pray that as we know him, that we may have that safety and security and that sense of shalom and be singing of his grace in our lives to all we meet, and in particular to any Jewish person that we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.